I don't want to give you so much specific right now, but let's just go through the Shakavatarya going forward. I'll probably give you a few things. Maybe I'll send some through Avraham today, or let me, we're not finishing it off. The issue, the first issue of Rashi and Tosis, and you know, the issue raised by Bedika, whether Bedika is Daraisa. If it is Daraisa, it just opens up Bedika, Tashbisu, Bal Yiroah, massive topics that we're going to see so much more about. But at least let's go through these Makoros and see where it takes us. So we've already pointed out that there are, I guess, two, broadly speaking, perspectives, two perspectives. One being that when it comes to violating Bayrava Imatze, there are possibly, you know, broader principles, more universal principles that are at play. Things like Ones and Mesasek. And the other, of course, perspective is, you know, the role and character of chametz on Pesach. So the interface between those two things is a very interesting, you know, phenomenon. And basically what I've been trying to suggest is that in theory, you could have had two, you know, opposite perspectives that are mutually exclusive. As you could say, look, it can't be completely mutually exclusive because you have to say something, obviously, you know, about both factors. But you could say that the whole play, that the whole discussion, the whole, you know, issue of whether you violate, you know, Bayirah when you did a Bedika, or even absent a Bedika, Chametz, She'ini Yadua, let's say, or the, you know, when you're Chayv, you could say that that all depends on the dinam of Bayirah Bayimatzeh, period, in a very specific way. And there you could take two, really three perspectives, you know, one of which is, you know, Lechumra, the other is Lekula, and the other which is kind of in between. The Lechumra being that the Torah was very makpid about the presence of chametz in your rishus. And, you know, objectively, if you have that, then you're going to violate because you, you know, should have rooted it out. Maybe even the regular dinam of onus and misasek and so on aren't going to help you because maybe either the chiyuv of tashbisu or the conditions of violating bayirah are so chamor that you know that there are exceptions to it. Just like pikuach nefesh is normally the principle, and you have things like yaharig v'yavar. So maybe when there's an obligation, right, to root something out, then the normal excuses or the normal, you know, standards that determine one way or another, they don't apply anymore because we require me'al me'ever of that. That's the chumra way. The kula way says the opposite, right? The kula way says that the only reason, you know, the only thing to be concerned about here is if you know, are maintaining a certain kind of relationship to the chametz. That's really what Bayirah and Tashbisu, you know, is all about. And anything short of that doesn't need you to invoke things like Ones and Misasek. Right? As long as you are not connected in a positive way with the chametz, then you're not going to violate for its presence. That's the kula way of Bayirah Bayimatzeh. And as we already noted, you know, the din of Rabbi Shmuel can highlight either way. And the passivity part can highlight, you know, either way. Can really be understood in two opposite ways. One is that basically there should be no bayirah to begin with. It's a chiddush haTorah that there is such a thing because the objective conditions don't really justify it. Because if something is also b'hanah, then you really, you know, you don't have a relationship with it even if you want to. Again, to be more specific, if you think, and this is a big if, we're going to discuss it, that Yisurei Anah generally are not considered to be Lachem, and if Lachem is a prerequisite of Bayirah, then, you know, then there's no, the whole idea of Ba'ira is a Chiddush HaTorah. That's basically, you know, where we're coming from that perspective. So then you still have, you know, but thing, and it's very easy, you know, then to dismiss it or to neutralize it. Because, you know, you're 90% there already, or you're 100% there. The Torah, you know, basically doesn't want you to embrace Chametz and Pesach. And if you embrace it, then even though it's not yours, we're going to treat it as yours, or we're going to say you don't need to be yours. You have a relationship with it. But, you know, to the extent that you're not, or that you do any kol dehu, you know, that reflects that you're not, so your consonance with what would have been the din all along, namely, that, you know, there's no Ba'ira. That's the Kula way. The Chumra way is, wow, the Torah is Mechadish Ba'ira, even though objectively it doesn't seem like it should, you know, qualify. Apparently the Chumras here are enormous. And therefore, to neutralize Ba'ira requires effort. The Torah already is saying, you know, that we're dropping the normal standards. So then we're dropping all the standards. You need to, you know, really negate this, going to stop, because this is not the time to do it. But, you know, the middle way to say it is that both of these things are partially true. And part of the discussion is, you know, maybe Borbishu Sarabim and or I should say, maybe Chametz of Pesach and or Borbishu Sarabim, you know, are an exception. Maybe they really are. Are you really the Baalim Medini Mominus for your Chametz, or you never were, you know, but despite that you have a Ba'ira? Like, can you transact with your Chametz on Pesach? Like the Rambam's idea, you know, that you can have Lav Sheish B'maisa, maybe that's, you know, by buying chametz, maybe that isn't true. Some of the Rishonim think it's wrong. Because they say, Eina b'shusa shel adam. You get the chumras, but you don't get the kulas. Like, what are we really saying about Ba'ira? And the other side of it, are you only the Bailim Lagabe Iser? Right? Let's say somebody steals. Can you buy and transact with chametz on Pesach? It's one day. We'll discuss all this when we get to Rabbi Shmuel more. That's one issue. Can somebody steal your chametz in Pesach? Is he in violation of Gezela? Are you a Bailim Linyan Mamma? Do you need to be a Bailim? Maybe the fact that you're a Bailim Linyan Iser is enough, you know, for Gezel. There are a lot of interesting questions here about the status of, you know, based on the principle of Rabbi Shmuel. But I don't care about any of that. I do care, but I'm not going to go into any of that right now. We'll discuss it. You know, for now, I'm just trying to point out that it highlights two perspectives on Ba'ira. Okay, so, you know, when we move away, basically the bigger picture is either all this depends on onus and misasek, or all of this depends on Ba'ira Ba'imatze. And in both cases, right, you could be mekel or you could be machmir. So on the misasek and onus side, as I said already, you know, there's an objective question to ask too. Is onus commanda avid, or is this onus rachmana patre? Is onus commanda law avid, sorry, or is just patre? Is misase kamaisa vera, or just a patur, you know, karba? So these are the relevant issues to ask, you know, when it comes to the universal side of this question. And the more particularistic questions to ask are the ones that we just asked. And that is, you know, you need rota b'kiyum or nichale, you know, in order to violate, or you need, you know, total rejection, you know, in order not to violate. Okay. So just getting back to where we were for a minute, we started out by analyzing, you know, Lono Sheni Yadua. And again, you know, as we go forward, we'll see more shitos. So I just don't want to get too bogged down. But Kamachini and Dua broken down to just as we discussed. You know, it's, you know, Yadua Kamishma Galya, and you do find out about it. Chametz Sheni Yadua, and you do find out about it on Pesach. Those are three cases. What about chametz that you knew about, and then you forgot about? Right? We'll get to that in just a second. That's another madrega. That seems to be something that the Rambam speaks about. And that, you know, in light of that, the Rishon, in terms of the sugya, a lot of these are connected up with the sugya of Shema Yimatze Gluskayaf Evadaita Alei. What does Daita Alei mean? You know, Lamafreya Mikano Laba. If it only means Mikano Laba, that's easy. And that's what many of the Rishonim suggest. Rashi, the Ran. If it refers to the Mafreya, and the Ran was tentative about it, even though he ended up rejecting it. So what level are we talking about here? Right, so Shema Yimatze Guska Yafa is very, very important. So let's say you had, you know, you knew of chametz, and then you forgot about it. Okay, let's say there's chametz, you know, that you should know about, but you never knew about. Because smokom shemachnisim bo'os ha-chametz. It's another madrega. Right, that's a relevant category to bedika itself. What about chametz that you know is in your possession, but you don't know where it is? Right, that's an interesting question, right? So actually, Eitan mentioned, we were talking about Tosas on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, right? Eitan Sokolov mentioned to me, the language of Tosas sounds like, you know, maybe you know it's there, but you just don't know where it is. It's not matsui. Hard to know what Tosis means. Right, and then I think Ezra mentioned to me, right, Ezra? The Marshal?
Right. He said that Tosos and Chafal is very specific.
It's only a suffix because maybe the animals ate it.
The animal. Right.
So you have two opposites. There's a whole literature on that Tosas on Chafalo Bayirav for Chametz Sheni in Matsui, right? That's not with nothing to do with Bedika, right? So Eitan's emphasizing the part of the language which says, even if you know it's there, but you don't know where it is. Ezra's pointing out that the Marshal says, it's only a case where you're not sure, well, you have good reason to think it's not there at all, right? Or maybe you knew it was there, you don't know if it's still there. That has a kula and a chumra. My point is, I don't want to right now go into detail. That's, you know, something to do to look at the Lushonis and the Rishonim, and especially the Poskim. Like, what constitutes, and we will talk about it for another minute when we talk about the Ram Chalava, but the where you draw the line and what constitutes Eini Yodea, Eini Yodua, or Eino Matsui, is a very interesting question. With, of course, pragmatic consequences, halach lamaisa. But it doesn't interest me at the moment in this bigger picture. What interests me in the bigger moment is, if you haven't agreed upon chametz she'en yadua without bedika, does anybody think that you're pater from bayirah bayimatzeh for that? Is there a debate on that, whether it's bayirah bayimatzeh? And the answer seems to be yes. You know, on some level, Tosas on Chaf Aleph seems to say that, you know, chametz sheni yadua, nothing to do with bedika, is going to be potter. And the tour, right, all over the place, and this is what the Magen Avraham really points out in Taf Lamed Daled Sif Katan Hey, seems to say that, you know, at least if you find it during Pesach, you know, what happens if you find after Pesach? You never knew about it. That's more madregos. Again, I don't care for the moment where you draw the line, but the tour seems to say that you're chayav for that. It's like shogeg. The tour says it even when there was a bedika. You did a bedika, right? You didn't find it. Later on, it surfaces. That's shogeg. So you have mikatze elakatze. You have people thinking that you'd be potter from you know, doesn't help you. Right? The Magen Avraham actually, you know, points out that if you look at the Rambam and sort of the Nichtam, Right, the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches, a famous halacha that we're going to discuss much more, you know, has a kind of in-between status. Right, the Rambam says here in Halacha Ches, Ukeshagomer lived out this halacha zayin in Badak Belel Yadal and Obi Yom Yadal. Lefikach im lo bitel kodem sheish mishesh shosulamala matzachametz shahaya datu olav vahaya belibo. Right, ushachacho b'shasa b'imatze sharlo biar v'lo bitel. In a bitel atam boilo klum sheim b'shusa v'kasav asa ukilu b'shusa. Etc. So the Rambam here seems to make a distinction between something implicitly. The Rambam here is talking about a case where you would violate Ba'yiraya, right, in something which Haya Daita Olav, the Haya Belibo, Ushachacho Bishasabir. So actually the Magen Avraham, both the Michtam and the Magen Avraham, you know, and the Meiri, also worth looking at, you know, just paid close attention to the language of this Rambam. That's the Rambam's take on Shema Yimatzei Guska Yofa V'Daita Yalei. Daita Yalei doesn't mean in the future. It means it was in the past, right? But not a pure onus either, but something where Daita Yalei V'Shekacha. So again, this Magen Avraham that the Makor Chaim is quoting on Yibatlan, Hashta fil nishar chametz beisa shalom atzo, ina over alav. Diim lo bitlo, right, over alav. Afa pi shehu lo yada. V'chein kasa v'simin taf mem vav, referring to the tour, right? Ami sha'ach al chelev b'shogeg. Then he quotes as a contrast, Vizelashon a Rambam, Paragimel, Imatza Chamashe Daita Lavoya Liba Vishkacha Vishasabir Vlabira, Horizarva Lo Yuraya, Shalabir Vlabito. Ain Shamashma Dim Lo Yada, Mitrila in an overall of Klau, Kamasha Kasamalishon a Rush. So, this is clearly there's a huge debate. There are those who think that even with Bedika, there is a Bayura. And there are Rishonim who think that even without Bedika, there's no Bayira. So that's a fascinating debate. And one of the things I was trying to explain was that it could be explained independently, right, in two ways, or more complexly in the overlap between the two. And that is where the Makor Chaim comes in, right? Because Makor Chaim says, I just don't get it. You know, why not say that there's a Ptur Misasek? And his answer is not, my answer might have been, that Misasek isn't going to help you where there's a chiyuv, bedika, biur, v'tashbisu. Maybe Misasek only helps you when you come to a particular halachic phenomenon or institution. You know, you come to it like in a vacuum. Right? But where there's the obligation to begin with, to preclude something, to prevent it, to root it out, to seek and destroy it, these are all slightly different things, but like any of the above, right? Maybe Misasek and Onus don't apply. In the same way that, you know, Yehoram Balyavar doesn't have a heter Pikuch Nefesh, maybe doesn't even have a heter of Onus. But that's not the approach of the Makor Chaim. Makor Chaim's approach is the Chiddush that we already spoke about, and that is that to be Bechalik between halachic actions that are Kumbasein Sheval Tase, to say that anytime you have a Sheval Tase, there's no further hafka al yidei misasek. Big chiddush, very understandable chiddush. Big chiddush, one which you could have not only disagreed with, but said the opposite of. And I'm going to make that suggestion in just a second with the bedika. And the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger likewise thinks it's a good question, doesn't think the answer lies to that question in the particulars of Chametz, he has a different answer, and that is, Misasek is never a hafgas hamaisa. It's just a p'tur karban. What does that have to do with Bal Yiro Bayimatze? for the same reason that we wouldn't say that misasek is a reason not to be afrushe meisura, right? Or other things. But one could have said what I said. Okay? Okay, so that is very, very important. One could also suggest, this is what I wanted to counter for the Mekor Chaim does not consider the possibility that Bedika itself, you know, is Koveya here with regard to Misasek. But maybe one could say that the way that Bedika is a Kiyum Daraisa is in a Klali way, not in a Prati way. Namely, this is what I was saying the other day, because again, the number one, the Mekor Chaim assumes that chametz is defined as something sheval taseh, and on a practical level, it certainly is. But the question is halachically whether we consider, given the chiyuv of teshbisu and the nature of yitzur chametz, whether leaving something in your rishus isn't actually mekayim or meniach. That's the deal we made for the round. Why it's connected to these formulated that way. And I was the other day, maybe that's the only reason you can ever be Malkus as a Lav Sheish. But Bedika into the mix, it helps you with that. Meaning, maybe what Bedika does is it turns Meniach and Mekayim into Nimtza B'Shev Al Tasa, because you tried to uproot it. So maybe what you turned it into was Chametz Sheni Yadua, right? Which either pushes it over the threshold for Ones and or Misasek per se, meaning it solves the problem of the particular, you know, chiyuv, bedika, tashbisu, etc., ruining or let's say rendering irrelevant the universal categories. So you say, oh, that's all true, as long as you didn't do bedika. But once you did the bedika, you know, so now it's the regular din of onus and misasek, because you did try. Assuming that you did a decent bedika, we'll get to that in a second. Or that what happens is that, well, let's say we, you know, we take, let's say we care whether it's kumvase or sheval tasa. So here, let me say the opposite of the Mekor Chaim. Right, the Mekor Chaim's, I think, remarkable chiddush, understandable, but counterintuitive at first glance, is that the more something is sheval tasa, right, the less it is subject to the Ptur Misasek, right? I was saying that that's counterintuitive, and that, you know, certainly if you took an informal poll of most people, they would have probably thought that the opposite chiluk should be made. Namely, the more you do an action, the more difficult it is to disassociate it from you, to break the tziruf. But if you have something b'shev al tasa, so it's kind of tenuous to begin with, you know, and you're not even aware of it, you have no cognizance, then there's nothing. In other words, I would have made a case that Misasek works, you know, more for Sheval Tasa than for Kovase. Exactly the opposite of the Mekor Chai. If that's the case, then one could, then you have an explanation, you know, another role for Bedika. In other words, regular Chametz Sheni Yadua, you know, maybe Misasek, but it's Mekumvasek, because you're Mekayim and you're Minyach. But once you're Bodek, right, in addition to the fact that that might be trigger this, that's the difference between leaving chametz in your possession constituting a kumvase or a shevaltase. But again, only if you hold the opposite of the Makor Chai, which I think is very viable. Okay? Good. Of course, the other possibility, right, is to go back to the particulars. Right, let's say that everything derives from the standards of Tashbisu, of Bayirua, etc. As we said, that could be a source for Chomer, that can be a source for Kula. But certainly, the idea that Bedika could play a role, particularly in Bedika, in the din of Chametz and Bayirua, that's certainly sensible. Meaning, let's say Bayirua Bayimatsi doesn't apply to Chametz, you know, She'ena Yadua. Or let's say the real requirement is that there be, that your bias be panui min hachametz. Or that you make an effort that highlights that lo nichale, or ena rotza b'kiyumo. Right? So, in addition to the objective question, well, what's the status of ena yadua? And the different levels of Eni Yadua. Right, if something is Eni Yadua, it's not Nichale, but it's also not Eno Nichale. He also didn't actually do anything to demonstrate that Lo Nichale. Right, if you need to be Mefana base, a Chametz free, a Chametz rinds. You didn't do that. So the idea that Bedika could be a chalos d'oraisa, and then we'll have to see how far that goes. Right? Definitionally, for Bal Yirah, depending on what Bal Yirah is, very reasonable. Except that you also have to consider, you know, and what about the Bedika turned out to be an imperfect Bedika? Does that matter? Or does that undermine the Bedika and what it accomplished? So here I think basically what I'm suggesting is that on the Prati side of this problem, right, Bedika could again play, you know, one of a number of roles. You could say that it's part of the Ikar Mechayev of Tashbisu to begin with. It's the kiyum of Tashbisu. It renders Tashbisu, you know, it establishes a certain kind of chametz which is not subject to it. In itself reflects nicha. It's mefanaba. Basically, even within that whole approach, let's say, Bedika could be a direct and a major player in neutralizing Bayira, or it could end up being a little bit more of a technical, you know, factor in either the threshold or the definition, you know, of Bal Yirah. And that's what I want to try to show very quickly, like in the Lashonos and in the Shitos of the Rishon. Okay, so that's kind of where we are, and I'm just expanding a little more. And now I just want to go specifically through the you know, the poskim and the Rishonim that I gave you, right, just to, you know, to make some comments and to see what it is. Okay, any questions before I, so far I've just been talking. I'll start calling on you all in just a second. Any ha'aros or questions before I move on?
Yeah, how does the fact that if we assume that Bittel would work midoraisa on Chametz Sheni Yadua, how does that fit into the story of Misasek and Onis?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I mean, vis-a-vis the Bedika part or vis-a-vis Bittel itself?
Right, meaning if we assume that Bittel would work, can anyone really claim Onis okay. or Misasek on Chametz Sheni
Yadua? Can you, since you're supposed to do Bittel,
right?
If Bittel's a chiyuv, so here again, I think it depends. Is Bittel proactive simply to negate, you know, Bayirah? Right? Again, the more we think of Bittel on the sideline, I'll say two things. The more we think of Bittul like the Balei Tosfos thought of it, ironically, which is why, well, let me explain the irony just for a second, and we'll see it. I'm going to go inside in the Makor Chaim, because it's better to, the Derech Arukah Shehi Katzar is just to go through some of the Lashonos very quickly. But one of the things the Makor Chaim, you know, wants to do is to, exactly what you just said, is to kind of project Bittul very centrally to explain why Bedika, right, is not an onus, right? And I'm not sure whether that is mukrach in the Rishonim, but that's kind of what he wants to do. But ironically, the more you look at Bittul, and then again, this would explain the Balei Tosfos, who think in a way that Bedika is drabbanan. Right, is not Toshbisu, and the Bittul. That the more you think, and that's why I have a little bit of a problem conceptually with the Makor Chaim, because of that. The more you think that Bittul is sidelined, and it of course works, you know, but it isn't, you know, a major kiyum. The more I think you can still look at Eini Yodua and things like that, you know, is maybe not qualifying for Bayira, or Bedika having a Chalos Doraisa status and so on. On the other hand, if you thought that Bittul, you know, is where it's at, and that's what Tashbisu means, or even if that isn't what it means, the fact that it works is a major highlight, and like being Mevatel the Chametz is a major Kiyum, then I think it's an interesting open question. I think in general, it certainly would seem to eliminate, you know, onus or masasek, if we're talking about any adua in the absence of bedika. Would it still mean that bedika has no doraisa role, and that if you did a bedika and it was a faulty one, that not having also done bittul would still be negligent or a lack of onus and masasek? That I don't know, but I'll show you that that's exactly what the Makor Chaim says. Is that clear? I think that's a really good, subtle question, but I think that's really the answer. But part of my answer, admittedly, is not consistent with the Makor Chaim's Mahalach. Okay? Good. So let me first talk about the Makor Chaim. So a couple of details, and I want to just go into each of the Rishonim quickly so we can then move on from there. I'm trying to find my, just give me 1 second. Okay, Makor Chaim. So what's interesting about the Makor Chaim, I just wanted to add just to the things that we've already said. Let's just take each of the Farshim now and just speak about them since we've done a kind of an overview of it. First of all, it's interesting that the Makor Chaim begins by analyzing Bedika, right, not as a solution to Bal Yirah, but as a chiyuv in its own right. And again, Bedin Bedika Belo Bittul, he starts, Rabu Hadeos Shaharbe Poskim Sviralahu, the Bedika Belo Bittul Doraisa. And that's clearly his orientation. And he finds difficulty with Tosfos' view that Bedika is purely a Dindur Rabbana. But what's fascinating is that if you think Bedika is a Kiyum Daraisa, right, there can, in theory, there can still be two aspects to it, right? One is, and this is what we mostly have been speaking about, the effect that doing Bedika has, if you did Bedika, the Chalos Bedika, like what effect does it have on Bayira, on Tashbisu, on the need for Bittul, etc. But what's fascinating about the Makor Chaim is that instead, his initial focus is on Bedika as a Kumvaseh, as a chiyuv in its own right and as a kiyum in its own right. Namely, thus the search alone. That's how he starts. And that's a perspective very important to keep in mind. The tamam nira de sfirule, the dami lahadim bivur biyaradeya, the perish adarkan lahatlia bimachubar, the tzarek bedika daraisa, kivin shudavar hamatsui. Pachanami, linya bedikas chametz, kiv the davar matsui hu, lios chametz abayas, kivin shem ishtam shabal kalshana, right? Vesova gam came to kishiesh chametz, af shalo yada, right? Dami lochal chela bishogeg, right? The kivadim yesh chametz of the isura, boy bedika kadesh lo yasa isra bishogeg. So again, I guess it depends how you read this line in the Makor Chai. Does he mean that you should do bedika because A, that'll, if you don't, you're going to be chayiv, right? Even if you're not going to be chayiv, you know, since it's an isra hamatsui, right? The right thing is to do bedika for it, right? Does he also mean that, does he mean basically that you're going to capture, you know, you're going to prevent 80% of Isurim if you do Bedika? Or does he mean that having done the Bedika, you're preventing 100% of Isurim? That's not clear. So he starts off with the idea that you should just be doing this because you have this thing in your Rishus and it's not appropriate for it to be there. Right? Almost like the, we'll get back to this, like the Radvaz, maybe on a Drabanan level, you know, of, you know, Chorin and Stokin and Mavo'os, you know, you're treating it almost like treating it like Avodah Zarah. Right, with Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Avodah Zarah Halacha Aleph, talks about Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael as something you have to seek, root out, find, you know, and then destroy, which is what the Radvaz was referring to. The Radvaz says it's less than chametz, fine. But the parallel, like the Rav thought, that bedikas chametz was like the, you know, drabanan kein doraisa equivalent of that Rambam. Ilchos Avodah Zarah. And in a way, that's how the Makor Chaim starts. Meaning, forget about the finding or preventing the Balyiraya, even before you get to that. For the same reason as Balyiraya, you should be looking for the chametz. Because that's part of, you know, the transition to the chag, as we've been saying all along. It's this toxic, noxious substance. So you got to, you know, root it out and destroy it. The rooting isn't just for the destroying. The rooting is like a kiyum in its own right. That's how the Makor Chaim starts. Now, whether he means, therefore, if you do it, even if you do it wrong, or even if you're infallible, not fallible, even if you do an imperfect job, right, nonetheless, you're pata legamri, or it's just, you know, it's a kiyum in its own right, and it'll save you 80% of the time too. Frankly, I, as a chiddush, I think it's much more mechudash to say that it only works 80% of the time, and you should do it for that reason, and it's a kiyum, and so on. I just don't know. I'm not really. I think the, you know, in the words, it's just not clear. Maybe elsewhere, you know, I have to look through other Makor Chaims. Maybe elsewhere it's clearer. I have to look at Tuf. He really should look in. I should have looked in Tuf Lamed Dalet, I guess, on that Magen Avraham. See if he says anything there. I didn't. I'll try to look at it. But that's how he starts.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Just a question to clarify. Is he not talking at that point about being Mekayim Tashbisu?
Is he
not talking at that point about being Mekayim Tashbisu?
I think it doesn't say. He doesn't say the words Tashbisu.
So what would be the Kiyam Diraisa if not for?
No, I think it would be. I think he is referring to Tashbisu, but I think, I don't know whether he's Mekayim Tashbisu Legamri Ad Kedekach that, you know, that he's Potter from Bal Yiroa if he makes a mistake. That's the part I'm not sure about. Like if he doesn't find Chametz and Chametz surfaces, you know, Kamishmaya Galia after Pesach, how about on Pesach? Right? What happens then? That's the missing, you know, data for me in that line of the Makor Chaim. But I do think it's Kiyum Tashbisu, even though it doesn't say it, but I would assume that's exactly what it is. And in that way, it's even more than the, you know, Tolaim and that stuff. And I think. Okay. Then he says, Okay, just bear with me for a couple of minutes. We'll go through these quickly. Then he goes on to say that the kivin dim yesh chametz avdi sura. I'm sorry, one second. Then he says, "L'chor nira buchach mikidivrayim b'shas mihadam or b'dika chametz or b'rabanan to midrais of the bibel beer b'bitzel b'almas." The sagto mash medlob the chiyu or the protection. An interesting ha'ara. Like, what will Tosas do with this point? And this is the question that he asks later on. I'll get to his answer later on in a second. Eitan? Where's Eitan?
Yeah.
Eitan? So what do you think? What is a good question or not?
It's a good question. I think, doesn't he answer later that you're only chayiv, or there's only chiyuv bittul for things that are, that you'd be over mishum by Rabbi Matze?
No, I think he answers later for Tosas, tries to connect it up to Rabbi Yehuda, and I think that's a big problem too. He repeats the question later. But it sounds like it's a good question, meaning Gemara says that, you know, if you do bittul, you know, bittul be al masagile. So should be medayik from there that if you don't do bittul, that bedik. So the Gemara says bedik is rabbanan because bittul be al masagile. So the Makor Chaim says, oh, isn't that a raya that an absence bittul bedik is not rabbanan? Oh. So what a suggestion later. But what's the concept to reading that? And there's any Rishon who thinks that Bedika is Doraisa absent Bittul is going to read the Gemara the way the Makor Chaim read it. The Gemara says Bedika Drabanan because the Bittul be Alma Sagsa. Or
in the Raisa, there would be no concept of Bedika at all?
Say that again?
I mean, the Raisa, there would be no concept of Bedika at all?
Yeah. So how does that fit in with, you know, Bittul B'Alma Sagile?
Well, I mean, the Raisa, all you're supposed to be doing is a Bittul, because that's, I mean, all encompassing.
It's not connected to Bittul B'Alma Sagile.
Well,
because there are one way is, okay, that, I mean, all the Gemara is saying is Bedika Raisa. Midway Tosas will read it as Bedikas Rabbanan, period. Right? Midoraisa, Bittul is good enough. And therefore, Bedika only plays a role to Rabbanan. But what bothered him, the Makor Chaim, was he thought that the Gemara was proving that Bedika was Rabbanan because Bittul Biyamasagi. Right? You're pointing out, you don't have to read the Gemara that way. The Gemara is saying two different things. Bedika drabanan. Bedika's drabanan. How do you get rid of Bayura? Don't you always need Bedika? He says, no, but Bittul be almasagile. Okay. That is a way to read the Gemara. Maybe that's how Tosas read the Gemara. I'd like to play the Makor Chaim's, you know, reading. Namely, what the Gemara is saying is more than that. Bedika's drabanan, because Bittul sagi. How does he reading it? But absent Bittul, of course, you need Bedika daraisa. Correct? Or, no. The Gemara is making a big statement. It's not making two statements. Bedika drabanan, A, no matter what, in all circumstances. Right? Where do you get Bittul b'yam sagi? Maybe the Gemara is proving that Bedika is Drabanan because Bittul be Almasagi. That's the other possibility. But not Bedika is Drabanan, but if you don't have Bittul, Bedika is Araisa, Moshe, but what?
Can you say that Tosos says that that even if you do bdika, then maybe it has some relevance to Tashpi Sumi Dereisa?
Well, it doesn't sound that way in Tosos.
From the fact
that Tosos is rejecting Rashi because he's saying that bdika never affects Bayra.
Not for Bayra, for Tashpi Sumi, maybe.
Okay. Maybe. But again, certainly the Gemara is talking about right. Bayra when it says Yamasagi. Right. So that doesn't work for Tosos. But what could work for Tosis? And again, he kind of says it in the end. I just don't like the particulars. Kobe.
Not sure.
I mean, it's a hard one. Ellie, what do you think? Ellie Hyman.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the details would work out, but maybe can you say that? Right, the Gemara is proving that Bdika is Derabanan because Bitzel is still right, and then even in the absence of Bitzel, Bdika is still Derabanan because of what Bitzel being Delrita shows?
Exactly. That's exactly what I want to say. That becomes such a totally different way of reading the Gemara. Meaning, the way Tosas might read the Gemara is, not these are two different things, have nothing to do with each other, maybe Nimkar Chaim is right. But the way to read the Gemara is, and he himself kind of does this, Mekor Chaim, I just don't like the details. I'll explain why in a minute. You know, maybe I'll explain it right away in a minute. Now, Mekor Chaim himself says the following to answer this question. What does he say? Eli, you saw it?
Yeah.
He says, well, what's Tosas going to do with the line in the Gemara? Right? The Gemara implies that the only reason that Bedikas Chametz is Drabana is because, you know, Bibitul be Almasagi. So if there's no Bitul, you need the Bidika Doraisa. But Tosas can't read that way. So we could say, we said, no, it's not what the Gemara meant at all. The Gemara meant Bidika Dorabanan. As for your Doraisas, it's all up to Bitul. Right? But Ellie's coming along now and saying a different pshat. Maybe Tosas will say, the very fact that Bitul is Doraisa precludes Bedika being Doraisa because the orientation, let's say, right, that underpins neutralizing Bayiraya or fulfilling Bedika and fulfilling Tashbisu through Bitul is not compatible with giving Bedika a prominent role. That's what you want to say, Ellie?
I hadn't thought it through fully, but
that's what you mean, right? Or am I putting words in your mouth?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's what I understood from what you said. Okay, I will not claim that I've never thought that before or thought of the formulations of it. But when you said it, that's what I understood you were meaning. But you have a right to disassociate yourself if you so choose.
Okay, no, I think that was as Rebbe is saying.
I'm just like, you know, filling in the blanks a little bit. But that's, I think, what you were saying totally. So the Mekor Chaim himself kind of says something like that for Tosas, namely, what does he say?
So actually, I'm not sure if I saw that part of it.
Okay, that's fair. Anybody see it? Yonatan? See it? And it's important to keep in mind, because it's important for other things, for bigger questions that we're going to get to. Yoni? Broth?
Yeah.
I see you're in 501, right, Yoni?
I am.
I know. I can see the shades, very particular shades in 501. You know, struck me. Yeah, go ahead.
You want the line?
Either read the line or just tell him what he says. He addresses this question. He starts off by saying, I think this is a really strong, remember, his whole orientation is to back the opponents of Tosas here. Right? The piece starts off, Bedika Blabitul Rabu Deos Shaharbe Poskim Sfir the Bedika Blabitul Darais. Right? So, and you know, this is what he's mostly, you know, then he's trying to explain all the different cheetahs. So he says, and they have a very strong raya from this line in the Gemara that we just read. So then when he finishes everything else, he says, he asks the question on Tosas again. You have the line, Yoni?
Yeah. He goes, Ulchor Kasha Lehem.
Right, that's his question.
And he answers, yeah. Yeah.
So what's his answer?
He answers, V'nira dehim farshim kach, the bishlama im haya tashbitu de cross srefa, dafka haya havdika chiyu, her kiyu mitzvah tase. Kedamrin b'chulim prayik shiluach hakan. Yach lachzor, v'har m'bav kadeshim tzakan, amalomor ki karei, right, muchach de bistam mitzvah that say mechuyev lachzor achorek de lekaima. Aval kivin de tashvitu eno ela bitol v'hainu kumosh katav haran reish psachim de sagi b'yuloi da'at de lo nichol lebemad de ukma rachman v'rshute le'inyan b'ayimatze hari muchach de biur hu rak tikun de b'ayimatze v'kivin de b'eno yodea hechan achamitz b'lav hachi eno over al b'ayiro b'ayimatze amamela like a chiyuv alav midor reita.
Oh, so what's he saying? How would you summarize, Yoni?
He's saying that the bedika is not coming to be mekayim the mitzvah of the pasuk. It's only coming to be a tikkun in a case where it's in a yodea.
Yeah. So does this fit into what Eli was saying or not?
I think very well. I think it's exactly what he was saying.
Exactly, except that there's a problem with it. So what again? How's he fitting it in? He's saying this like this: if bedika, right? If bittel works, if bittel is tashbisu, right, and not bedika and biur. If bittel is tashbisu and not sreifa, right, then there's no room for bedika as a derice. Bishlomo, if you hold like, he doesn't use these words, but this is what he's saying. A search and destroy mission, or seek and destroy mission. Sounds better, right? So, you know, you have to burn the chametz, and first you find it to burn it. And there are other precedents also of things that you have to hunt down, right, in order to get rid of them. Correct? So if you held that ain't bir chametz ala b'sreifa, right, then the idea that bedika would be daraisa, would be reasonable. But the fact that bitu be al masagi, and that neutralizes bayiraya, right? Then there's no room for bedika. Not because you don't need bedika because you have bitul. Because conceptually, once you think, right, that there's no search and destroy, it's just about lachem, right, and so on, or it's attitudinal. So then there's no room for bedika. Now that means even when lamaisa, there's no bit. Yoni, you agree? Okay, Ellie, we're on the same page. Now, what's very important about the Makor Chayim, you know, is suggesting, this is a major debate among Rishonim and Achronim, you know, that like how unusual is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? And to what extent is that a different concept? So usually we have this question with regard, we'll see in a second, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Hash B'Sasa B'Chol Davar and Sreifa within Bir, right? And we have it a little bit in the Ran here, we'll get to it in a minute. We have it a little bit in the Maram Chalava here, we'll get to it in a minute. Of course, we have it big time, you know, the opposite, where we're not making midda, where we're dividing, you know, the Minchas Chinuch, the Rab Chaim, each in their own way. We're going to discuss it. We already talked about Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and whether you say midda when we talked about, I was suggesting it as a solution for Rashi. Why does Rashi not worried about the Yerushalmi's Behemah Shel Hefker, right? Maybe because, you know, Lo Yachel, etc., because maybe he's talking within Rabbi Yehuda. So Makor Chaim says, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then Bedika is going to assume a Daraisa role. And if you hold Bittol, then Bedika can only be Drabana. know, there's a qualitative difference between how you look at Tashbisu and by extension Bayura and what's going to be effective in that context, which is exactly what Eli was trying to say. The way to read the Gemara is not that in the absence of Bittul Bedikas Daraisa, when there's Bittul Bedikas Drabana, which is the way to read the Gemara according to the Ran, and according to the Rabbeinu David, and according to the Ram Chalav, and according to all the Rishonim who are disagreeing with Tosis. The way to read the Gemara is the very fact that Bittul Daraisa precludes any Bedika being Daraisa even in the absence of Bittul. The problem I have with it is that it's not a good answer for Bali Tosis. Because it's Yadua, umafursam, that the Bali Tosis paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that ain't Birchametz Ele B'Sreifa, unlike the Rambam. Number two, the Bali Tosis don't think that Bittul is Tashbisu on Dalit Amud Beis. They think that Tashbisu is still Biur, actually Rabbi Yehuda, and they think that Bittul is Hefker and Lemaisa is not Lachem. So it's very hard to read Tosis that way on the particulars, because they do embrace Rabbi Yehuda, and they don't think that Bittul is ever Tashbisu. Afal Pichein, I still think that conceptually, right, it's a good way to read for Tosis. I still think what Tosis is saying is that Bittul wouldn't work, maybe, or Bittul Bial Masagi wouldn't work. It wouldn't be enough if Bedika was the Raisa. I just don't think I have to say it connected to Sreifa and to the Kiyum Tashbisu more particularly. I would like to kind of broaden this idea, meaning, and I'm still not sure why you can't. I think what Tosis will say is, listen, Bedika maybe has a role to play, you know, in Chametz Sheni Yadua, maybe in, you know, in Onus and Misasek, maybe in Pinui Abayis, right? But if Bittul works, then we're not focused on those things. In which case, Bedika doesn't have a role. Now, I want to take the perspective, the orientation of the Mekor Chaim. I just don't like the specific details for Tosis. Okay, is that clear?
Rabbi, weren't you also kind of, couldn't this also be based on that line in the Ran at the end?
Say that again?
That line in the Ran in the end would also read the Gemara that way, where he says, if Bedika didn't work on Chametz Sheni Yadua, then you would require Tashbisu, you'd require Bittul, you know, Mitchila.
What we talked about the other day, what about it?
I mean, that line in the Ran would also kind of like suggest this kind of reading in the Gemara. That like Bedika would have been good enough, but if it were true that it didn't work for Chametz Sheni Yadua, then you would require Bittul Midaraisa. He would say, because he was also kind of saying, meaning if you really need Bittul to neutralize.
But I think the Ran has just a totally different orientation.
No. Yeah, no, I understand. I just have the same kind of logic that like Midir, Bedika.
Okay, so again, this is very relevant to another point.
According to this
point that Natan brought up before. What?
But according to this pshat, isn't it interesting also that Tosfos, when they ask Kan Rashi, they don't just quote me the rice of a bit of Baal Masagi, they say also the Gemara of Abu
Dixar Shivato.
They say both in the question.
Yeah. Again, although we know the answer to that, and that may be, yeah, I think so. But because they want to show the inadequacy on both sides. You don't need it, right? And it's, you know, it's not sufficient. Of course, you know, that's an easier answer, as the Ran already and others pointed out, that could be Drabano, right? 100%. But now let's get to Natan's point also. I'm sorry this is taking so long. I'll try to move more quickly. But the other things we discussed mostly, let's go back to one other point. When he talks about the Magen Avraham, right? You only have it since you're doing such a great job. Magen Avraham, Simon Tuflam, Adalatif Kotne, Tafka Shabodak Velobitel, Umatza achar kach chametz beso dami laochel kevel b'shogeg. Even if he did bedika, right? So I would have said, and this is according to Bali, you know, according to the tour, according to Bali Tosis, etc., or whatever. I would have said, because there's no chalos bedika. Bedika doesn't do anything for you. What you need in neutralizing chametz is a whole different discipline, and a whole different focus. What's fascinating is, this is where Natan's question before comes up. He formulates, I don't know if you had this in the back of your mind when you asked, this is the way that the Makor Chaim explained, like, how would it be conceivable, for him, he's thinking, how would it be conceivable right? So I would have said one of two things. Either because it's a bedika, turned out to be a bedika batos, Or because just in general, bedika is not a factor here, that's all. Has no standing. No, when I say no chalos, I mean it doesn't, you know, register. It's not a consequential category. Here. Instead, how does he explain it? But Tom kim shahay biyado levatel velo bitel. It's because he had an alternative. So it's not like, you know, it's not that, like, if the only thing that he could do is bedika, right, and he did it, but it wasn't infallible, that would be ones or misasek or the absence of Bayira according to the tour. He's saying this within the tour. Right? But yeah, he had more tools in his tool chest. Right? And he ignored one. But for other Rishonim, that's where we get to the point. Okay, he didn't do Bittel. But, you know, like, Tosis probably wouldn't lose any sleep over that, ironically. Right? Because Bittel isn't even Tashbisu. Bittel's Bal Yirah for technical reasons. And frankly, even if Bittel is Tashbisu, right? Maybe it's not so obvious that Bittel's so superior. If you could do Bedika or Bittel, maybe Bittel's more intellectual. Bedika does require some Tircha. Right? Maybe in the effort alone, either because it makes it any adu, or it makes it misasek, or it makes it ena maniach, or because that is lo nichale, it's an expression of lo nichale, or makes it bais baduk, or chametz chefza shel chametz shenyanu, whatever it is, right? So what do you have the option of bittel? He did bedika. We'll see soon. Some rishonim think that you know, the Maram Chalav and those, they think bedika is better than bittel. So this is a very, very important, these are very important lines in the Makor Chai, and very important perspectives. Okay, now let's look at the Rishonim themselves. Just give me another couple of minutes. Let's look at the Sefer HaMichtam. If you don't get through all of it, we'll just take another 5 minutes on Tuesday. But so I want to get back to the Sefer HaMichtam, which we began with. There are two Sefer HaMichtams, or three really. What are the three? A second. To call on people. Noach.
Hi, Rabbi.
Are you back in the continent?
I'm not. I'm still in South Africa.
Ah. So we're not going to see you in 501?
Not this week. Hopefully soon.
Okay, good. Is the time change manageable?
Yeah, it's now 7 p.m., but it's doable. Thank God. It's all doable.
Okay, well, it's good to see you, and It's great that you're able to do it no matter how.
God.
Did you see the Michtam, by the way?
So I did. There was one on Dalid, and then there was one on Vav.
One on Vav and one on Base.
One on Base, I mean. One on Base and one on Vav.
Yeah. So the one on base says, you have it?
I'm just finding it. On base, yeah, it says, Orla Barasar Bodkin at the Chamech Perish Rashi Izal. No, is it the next one? Is it the top one?
Because that one is okay.
And it says, Bodkin at the Chamech Perish Takan at Chachamim Hi. She, you, Bodkin, Umechapsin. Bodkin, Umechapsin at the Chamech, Umevar in a Tolach Kutz.
Right.
The Minatorah
is what I wanted.
Torah, the bit of Al-Mesagi, Al-Kol Chametz, Dafkesh, it seems like Dafkesh, Eno Yadu'elo.
Correct. So this is a big theme in the Chachmei Provence, possibly a Girsa on the Rambam. I'm not going to discuss it per se right now. I want to leave that for discussions. Again, I'm sorry, these are all overlapping, you know, topics, but, you know, I want to leave that for a discussion of Bittul. Does Bittul work on Chametz?
Yadu'elo.
But what's important for us is the implication, Noach, that what?
Bittul on Chametz Sheyadu'elo may not work.
That Chametz Sheyadu'a Bittul doesn't work. That's important for Bittul. What's important for us today? That typical Bedika and Bittul is required for Chametz She'ena Yadu'a. Because otherwise there's no Bittul at all. Bittul's only in Chametz She'ena Yadu'a. Correct?
Right.
Which means that you can't hold like the, you know, you can't hold that Chametz She'ena Yadu'a is anus. Correct?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
And yet, on Vav Amud Beis, the Sefer HaMichtam is the Rishon who uses the expression anus.
Anus uver Rachmana Patre, right.
So here, the truth is there are two formulations in the Sefer HaMichtam. One is Dibra Masal Maitaima. You have that there? It's on the bottom. V'lamatzis L'meimar Shechashu Chachamim.
You can't say this.
So what is this?
Yeah, that if you do bedika, you seem to be lonidator lemalach hasharis. You did your job.
Okay, I mean, you added the lonidator lemalach hasharis part. That's a bit of double. We'll get to that. Exactly. But, yeah, I agree. But, so what's the difference between this and Chametz She'ena Yadu'a in general? Easiest pshat.
Maybe, I think, because, yeah, you've shown that no lo nichele, the lo rotze b'kiyumo.
He did a bedika.
No, I was like, yeah, you have.
Here you did a bedika.
And therefore, yeah, you've shown lo rotze b'kiyumo.
So it's, but I would say, it sounds like the Michtam isn't saying it's a din ba yiraya. He's saying it's a din anus, anus rachmana patre. But it's not anus rachmana patre if you didn't do bedika, even though it's eini yadua.
So it might be like Rebbe's threshold idea. But once you hit a threshold, here, then you're deserving.
Here you might say that the bedika gufa is what determines whether it's anus or misase, whatever you want to call it. I was saying it also whether it's kumvase or shevaltase, whether it's nicho mekayim or it's just there. Now, I would have said the same thing. I could have said the same thing in terms of the Baal Yirah part, 100%. So look, what's interesting is in the next piece, he quotes the Rambam that we discussed. You have the little didaiti ilave?
Yeah, it says at the end, Varam, to Gareshachi, Umefarish, Aya Dato Alea, Beshacha Beshata Bir, Koroi Marsh, Im Lo Noidalo Maolam, Oinesu.
Okay, good. So what is that? He quotes the Rambam, but he adds something to the Rambam, namely
that he didn't know about it ever. He didn't know he owned it.
No, right. That, I mean, the Rambam says that the only way you'd be chai ba'yirah l'mafreya gimoches is if he knew and he forgot.
So I think maybe the last four words that's only off the bittul.
Exactly. But the point is, Shim lo no domayolam, onesu, and pata legamri. So again, he's interpreting the Rambam midin ones. That's the threshold. for the Rambam, the threshold is maybe not Bedika, or maybe with Bedika, hard to know. Right? The difference between Me'olam LaYada and Yada V'Shachach. Right? The threshold could end up being, you know, Mokom Shemachnisin V'Shehu Matsui.
Or whatever it is, the Patur is on it. Is.
But what's fascinating is that he imposes Onas Rachmana on the Rambam. He might say that the Pshat in the Rambam is based on Ba'irah. It's you know, Nicha V'lo Nicha, especially since the Rambam happens to hold that even Bittul for the Rambam is Lifnei Zmano, and we'll get to it. And it's Mashve Ka'afar, all these things. So the Michtam is very important for different thresholds. What is the universal onus? At least that's what it sounds like. Right. Then on the Bittul side, of course, he's important for Bittul B'chamacheni Yadua, as well as his famous question in the beginning of that piece, which we'll get back to, which is if you made it into afar, how come you can't eat it? But you can't. So just don't want to leave anybody with a misconception. But why you can't is something we'll get back to. Okay. So in contrast to these, you know, the orientation of the Mekor Chaim, the Rabbi Kiveger, the Mechilta, who are more working with the universal categories of onus misasek, whatever, and, you know, with, I'm suggesting some nuance, different places of the threshold, different types of Eniyadea, possibly Bedika itself, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have the Chachme Svarad and some other Chachme Provence, all of whom, or at least the Maram Chalava, all of whom are working, in my opinion, within Ba'ira Ba'imatze itself. Except that some of them, they do it in slightly different ways, and some of them do it a little bit, you know, with some help for So let's talk about a bit of David, just for a minute. And then maybe we'll talk quickly about the Ran, Maram Chalava, look up also the Rambam, the way the Rambam seems to look at it. Also look at the Yerushalmi Aleph Aleph before we leave this. I want to get that in. And if you can, the Shibali Alekat. But I'm going to move quickly. I want to move to the next Gemara very quickly. What's unique about Rabbeinu David? Let's say, Noach, you're still with us.
He seems to hold that once you do Bedikah D'oraita, you're totally good. And there's no need for
it. He holds against, again, Bob. All these Rishonim that we're now about to do hold that there's a Kiyam B'dika Daraisa, or B'dika, there's a Kiyam Daraisa, or a Chiyav Daraisa. We'll get to it in just a second.
Better, yeah.
No, Chodansky, you're not going to zug?
Oh, no, it was a hostile takeover by Hoodie, so maybe
it's your time.
We missed the pre-sure hack, but now there's no Goldberg here, so who's going to... Natan, you have to take over, man. Someone cares.
You're doing great.
Maybe you're muted.
I think the co-hosts have to let me back in or something.
I hope it wasn't personal.
What?
I hope it wasn't personal.
No. It's okay. The co-host needs to stretch their muscles now then. You know, part of being a co-host. But yeah, I apologize for that. It seems like the battery when it's about to die, it tells you like about a second before. So there's, for sure, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. Anyways, let's just talk about Rebbeinu David, and then we'll stop, and then we'll pick up with this on Tuesday. Oh, I should mention, we have a new number for the Zoom. So I'm going to send it to Avram. Is Avram still around? Anyway, I'll send it to Avram. He'll send it out because we, for Zoom security reasons, they push you to change the number now and then. But we'll see. So what about Rebbeinu David? Noach, you were doing it? You were with us?
Yeah, so it seems
On the one hand, Rebbeinu David has a line which is reminiscent of the Michtam and so on. And you mentioned it yourself when we were talking about the Michtam, which was very appropriate. Namely? Yeah, which sounds like onus.
Right.
But on the other hand, does it seem like he's just invoking the universal
rules? No, he has a line where he says that the Bedikah is Matzio Midei Isur Bal Yerav HaMatzeh Me'achah Shebada Kefi Koicho. Once you've done your best, so then you can no longer be over Bar Yerav HaMatzeh.
Correct.
But love that because...
And not only that, but the whole piece, if you look at this, may just read a couple of lines for a minute, starting from... Elishamasha Gazru Alikar Abdika.
Elishamasha Gazru Alikar Abdika, Shaeno Elamitanze, Bilomishum Bara by Matze, Enamahubar. That wouldn't make
sense. He's rejecting Tosus. Right?
Right. Sheim da Tam Lomar, Ein Adam Yotzemide Isur Baya by Matze, Elabibitu, the Lobbidika, Bimesha EFSHAR, Sheloy Dok.
Bimesha EFSHAR.
EFSHAR, Sheloy Dok.
Yafa Yafa.
In other words, you can never do it well enough to cover all your bases. Ze vada eino. Shavadika motio motiato midai isur ba yorba matze me'achar shebada kefi koicho. You did the best you could. Shalod nid nator le'malach ha'ashar.
Well, first of all, it's interesting that he was considering this possibility that the problem of bedika is the fact that it is imperfect. So by that, does he mean that if you could always find, then of course. I don't think he meant that. I think he meant that, like, how could Bedika be a chalos, if it's imperfect, right? Which is fascinating, right? Because if all you need to do is show lo nichale, or render chametz ina yadua, or render your keeping of the chametz ina meniach ve'ina mekayim, then it doesn't need perfection. If the idea of bedika is only to come up with the chametz, so then you'll do beer with it, then its imperfection is important. Maybe that's what Tosus really means. Maybe Tosus perceives it as being focused on that. But what he's saying is, no, it doesn't need to be perfect because it's onus. Now, by saying that, you could have said, well, right, okay, so it's like a din in kamatar kula. There's a p'tur onus. You did what you can. But what's perfectly clear now in the continuation, keep going, but Torah kipashta lo tzivsa
ala bitul. Torah kipashta lo tzivsa ala bitul, ela al bir chabetz, ala bir chametz b'masev. Ein lismoch al tashbitu she targamu tevat lul chamia.
Now what he's saying is, no, it's not that there's, what he's really saying is that the real tashbisu isn't bitul.
Not bitul.
Right? It's something else. What is it? Miata.
I don't have that.
Miata kishabotkin as sachametz. You don't have that?
I mean, I'm just looking at a picture, so it's been cut out at the.
Okay, so I'll read it. Lo mishum chashash sholiyav l'deachlo el kedei lekayim mitzvas haTorah. Bedika is a kiyum and biur in a tashbisu. The efshar kamochein aide bitol, b'neisha chametz u yotzei, b'kach mishuso, u'minator b'kalecho di yotzei de chavaso. It works, but that's not the main tashbisu. Elishachalas chachamim, shal yismo chalabito, elishiyase biur b'maisa kepashto, k'desha lo yovo lide lo. Love al achlo. Uba osa beer, who yotze de chavasa bisur by Rabbi Matze. That's another reason it doesn't need to be perfect. So once you've said that, do you need to say lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis? Why not just say you did the bedika, and the mitzvah is to do bedika slash bir. And if you did bedika and you didn't find anything, you did your in the mitzvah to. What more do you need? Why do you need lo nitna Torah lemalachei asharis? I think working with onus to the exclusion of, or even to the, you know, minimizing of, you know, Bayirah and Tashbisu, what he's saying is, really, this is a din in Tashbisu. What do we need to neutralize chametz? However, if you do a bedika and it turns out to be imperfect, then what you could say is one of two things. You could say, oh, but you tried, that's good enough. Maybe that isn't good enough. Maybe it's not a shame bedika, you know, if it's imperfect. If it turns out that there was chametz, not only kami shmaya galia, but even on Pesach itself, you found it. So for that, he's saying, we need the din of onus or misasek, whatever you want to call it, to say it is the din of bedika. But why aren't you in violation? Not because of onus. You're not in violation because you were mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. Just why is this tashbisu if it turned out to be, you know, prone to error? Right? It's a bedika mutas, we'll call it. The answer is because in the Torah, you did a good bedika. All we need is for you to do a good bedika. It sounds like for him, the din is a din in kiyum bedika, which is, I think, a little different than the Ran, and a little different than the Maram Chalava, each in its own way.
And it seems to say that about your onus on the Avera.
Onus on the Avera, not just that your onus is considered a bedika?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't miss that. 1 second. The Habonik Tzor Shivatel piece?
On Dibra Maschel Gzera Shem Yimtzik Luska Yafe.
1 second. Oh, I see. Is that Tzor Perush?
A little bit there, and more so in the next paragraph.
Hare Shalomatzal Otsad Pshia. Was there Amr in the Daita? She's over who Elishu ones bekach. Interesting. But even though there's a kiyum tashbisu. Right? Okay. Pointing out very well. This is a different formulation in Rabbi David. Okay, I'll try to look at this one, try to see if they can coordinate. The first one, I think, is not saying that. I think what he's saying is it's onus, therefore it's a bedika. Like, that's how he starts. He says, maybe you'll say, how could you have a bedika? Bedikas are not perfect.
I thought all he was saying in that line was that in the case where you find it on Pesach, since you can't do, he thinks you can't do tashvisu on Pesach itself, like on Yontif.
That's
why you would violate it, but you'd be on us. You'd be violating, you wouldn't be able to do a Kiyum Tashbisu.
Not Lama Freya.
But you'd be Exactly, but you'd be honest because in Tashvi,
I mean the piece on Vav Mud Beis, talking about Mikan
Habah. I think so. In that line, I think that's all he's saying.
Ein zeh kedin perurin. One second.
Because he's explaining within Shitas Rashi, I believe. Like within Rashi's perspective, which is an alternative to Rashi.
Okay, that he's doing in both cases.
I know, meaning he thinks it's all Mikan al Haba, not Olam Afreya.
Ah, okay. So then that's totally fine.
Right. Yeah. So, and earlier in the pieces, he uses other expressions of onus, but those also seem to be within using onus as a way to...
The again, actually, it's very good. Because, yeah. Okay, great. So that I'll check it again, but Asher, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So then basically on base, what he's saying is an imperfect bedika regarding l'sha'avar is still a bedika because on the Torah l'malachei Asharis. So it has a shame bedika. And once it's a bedika, then there's tashbi, that's tashbisu. So the reason Zobayiru in that case is not because of onus. The reason that bedika mutas, you know, sha'asa kahogen, let's say, is a bedika is because of lo nitna Torah, l'malachei Asharis. But once you have that, then there's no bayirah because you're a Makai in the mitzvah. And on Vav Mud Beis, he's talking about what is the chashash of daitai aleha mikan ul haba? The answer is, you know, from then on, he should be in violation of bayirah until he does something about it. But at least in the space where he doesn't have an option, then there's a p'tur onus. But again, it's interesting that there's a p'tur onus of bayirah. That in itself is interesting. Okay, so I'm going to stop here because it's too late. But what I want to do is I still want to look at, I want to go back to the Ran, although I said what I wanted to say about it. But I just want to show just a little more. Because the Ran is a little complicated, as we know. He seems to be saying three different things. You know, on the one hand, he says, Bedika is Tashbisu. He says that, you know, Bittel and Bir are the same thing, even when he's kind of acknowledging that they're not. And then he says that you know that the effectiveness of bedika is that there's no chiyuv tashbis. Right. So I think, you know, again, I'll just show the lashonos a little bit better, that what he really thinks is that bedika renders chametz eini yadua, legitimately, with a shame eini yadua. Or chametz, it renders the makom baduk. And that is both a kiyum and also obviating the need for a kiyum, number one. Moreover, unlike some other Rishonim, I think the Ran is of the opinion that Tashbisu, Bayira'e, all of these are the same, basically. Now, this is a big debate among the Rishonim, which we'll be seeing, like, what is the relationship between Tashbisu and Bayira'e? Just very quickly. You could have said, everything is about Bayira'e and Tashbisu is the way to... is the mitzvah say to avoid it. And you could have said the opposite. What Bayirah, Bayimatzeh is a person who didn't do tashbis. Or you could say, there's a kiyum and there's an isar. Most of the time they coincide, and some of the times they're actually different from each other. There's something called tashbisu, something called Bayirah. Sometimes you don't violate Bayirah even though you don't have tashbisu. And sometimes you can, maybe, as this is the more difficult question, can you actually be Mekayim Tashbisu and still violate Bayirah? Certainly Mekayim Labah, that would be possible. Right? You did a good Tashbisu B'Shaito. So I think what the Ran is really saying, I'll try to just elaborate this a little more, is that these are different, all different parts of the same thing. They all really are connected. It's not one more than the other. It's basically all about how you relate to Chametz on Pesach. You know, it's a toxic substance, which means, you know, you've got to get rid of it and it can't be in your rishus. But instead of looking, you know, for one being dominant, he thinks that they're just different sides of the same coin, frankly. It's not lav driven, it's not assay driven. Both the assay and the lav and the need for a place, which is baduk, or chametz, which is baduk or eni yadua, all of that comes from the same place. That is why I think the Ran Shita. I'll elaborate just a little more. Whereas I think Ram Chalava, you know, is a little bit more, even more driven in terms of the bias and being pomeri, the Ritva also. So I wanted to just briefly talk about the Ritva, the Ran, and Ram Chalava, and Tosar and the Parents, and a little bit about that Yerushalmi, and Rambam, just a little bit more about Bedika for now. But again, this is an open; these are open files, you know, because we have to do much, much more on Bayra and Tashbisu and so on and so forth. But at least, you know, this part of it, okay? And then to move on to the Shakratari of the Gemara, speak about Machteris just for a second. You know, I want to speak about Yom Valayla, you know, it's the Parshas anyway, the Ravid, you know, what those categories, you know, might mean, just more to raise questions. Then I want to speak a little bit about Erev, Isra Malacha and Erev Pesach, and, you know, Korban Pesach, and then going forward. Okay, so I'll probably give some specific marmakomos. I'll try to keep them brief so we can move on, you know, in timely fashion, get to Dav Dalet.